This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakraborty.
And I'm Lisa Mullins. The NBA playoffs are underway. Now, you'd think not much could overshadow a playoff series, but...
But yesterday, league officials banned LA Clippers owner Donald Sterling for life, starting with the playoff game his own and possibly soon-to-be former team won last night. Sterling was banned for allegedly making racist remarks that were caught on tape.
Which leads us to wonder aloud with Bill Littlefield, host of NPR's Only a Game, what Sterling has said over the years that was not caught on tape. Hello, Bill.
Hi, Lisa. Boy, I hope you have a lot of time.
To search around. In addition to finding Mr. Sterling $2.5 million, the NBA commissioner, as you know, Adam Silver, as you're going to hear right now, has also asked the NBA's Board of Governors to force Mr. Sterling to sell the franchise.
As for Mr. Sterling's ownership interest in the Clippers, I will urge the Board of Governors to exercise its authority to force a sale of the team and will do everything in my power to ensure that that happens.
Bill Littlefield, how do you think it is that somebody who is as high profile and outspoken as Donald Sterling got away with his known racist views for so long?
Well, I think there are two answers to that. Probably there are more than two. One certainly is that the other things that he said over the years were not broadcast over the internet so that everybody with a computer or a cell phone or an iPad could hear them.
Lots of other people heard them, but just not enough.
Yes, absolutely. And as long as they weren't in everybody's face, it was a very different matter. The second thing is that he was on tape criticizing and insulting Magic Johnson. You don't do that, not in the NBA. So, you know, I think it was the specific stuff that pushed the buttons that finally got the action that lots of people have been calling for many years.
So why would the NBA then not, as an organization, really not take action prior to this? And maybe tell us what you make of the way the NBA is handling the whole Sterling scandal.
I think the answer to the first question is probably the old, you know, let he who is without sin cast the first stone. Who knows what they would turn up if they were to go after the backgrounds of some of these other guys who own teams.
Does that mean that's inevitable now?
No, I don't think necessarily. I think that probably people are going to say, hooray, hooray, they got the bad guy, and let us proceed. And to be fair, the NBA has been in the forefront of a lot of, a lot of things in terms of black coaches, black assistant coaches, black general managers. And, hey, we may very soon have a black owner of the Clippers. We've had Michael Jordan be a co-owner of a team before. So, you know, you could make a case that the NBA is a good deal more progressive than some of the other sports leagues. It's a low bar, but you have that.
Let's talk about some of the other sports leagues. In fact, you wrote a commentary. There's a link to it on our website, radioboston.org, where you quoted basketball great Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, who called the Clippers owner Donald Sterling, quote, just a handmaiden to the bigger evil.
Mm-hmm.
What about that bigger evil, which I think is quite familiar to those of us who live around Boston and have loved professional sports around here.
And I think Kareem was also speaking of the culture in general. I don't think he was limiting his remarks to sports. He's a very accomplished man. He's written several books. He's explored African-American history at some length. So his remarks, I don't think, should be construed as pertaining exclusively to sports.
But why don't you talk about local sports, in fact, and the history here
well,
in Boston?
Well, of course, the Red Sox history for a great many years was deplorable. They were the last team in the major leagues to have a black player, and they had that farce of a tryout for Jackie Robinson years before he came up with the Dodgers. The Celtics, on the other hand, had the first black coach in Bill Russell. So, you know, you've got both ends of the spectrum right here.
And what about Coach Doc Rivers, former Celtics coach who is black and now the Clippers coach? How do you think he's been handling all this?
I think he's probably been handling an incredibly difficult situation about as well as it could be handled. He's tried to keep his team focused on the fact that they have basketball games to play, and remarkably, they played extremely well last night and won the game.
They got it.
Wow. Well, it was just the win that L.A., I think, needed after a couple really hard days. So, Bill, speaking of wins, can we move on to some happier news in sports, hopefully, because the Bruins are going to take on the Montreal Canadiens in the second round of the NHL playoffs. Pretty intense rivalry.
Yeah, this is a fun rivalry every time that it's renewed. And, of course, the Bruins go into this the favored team. They had a much better record during the regular season. But as the old sports cliche has it, you can throw out the record books when these two teams meet. Oh, I love that kind of talk. It's great fun, and especially when you can make fun of it.
So many good sports cliches. Now, did I actually say that right? Is it Canadians or Canadiens?
Canadiens.
Canadiens. Let's go with the Quebecois pronunciation.
And boy, will you get some email on that.
Good. Bring it on, people. But actually, no, I am curious because you mentioned about the rivalry and the record here. Montreal holds, what, a 24-9 edge in postseason series with Boston? I know you want to throw out the record book, but
right.
That's a pretty big book to be throwing
out.
Yeah,
but you have to take into account all those years when there were only six teams in the National Hockey League, and the only one that was any good was the Montreal one.
Okay.
That's a little bit of an exaggeration, but not too much of one for some of the years that Montreal was so dominant.
Okay, terrific. So, Lisa, I think we should move on to four-legged athletes. What do you think?
Four-legged athletes for sure. Now, Bill, speaking of two-legged athletes, as I know you are one, you're looking forward to Kentucky Derby Day, mixing up the mint juleps this Saturday. Do you care?
Yeah, my mint julep consists of iced tea and lemonade, for the record. But
that's one wild time,
yeah,
Bill.
Yeah, I'm not the wild time kind of guy anymore. But the betting favorite seems to be California Chrome. If I were a betting man, I think probably that would be where I would put my money. But there's a horse called Wicked Strong, and no surprise, Wicked Strong has Boston connections. The only reason that Wicked Strong is not named Boston Strong is because that name was already taken.
Oh, my
So they
God.
Went with Wicked Strong, and some people give him a chance.
Yeah, the Jockey Club didn't like that, I guess. All right, one quick issue that stands to overshadow the race itself. This is not a racist rant on audio tape, but instead a video from an undercover sting by PETA. That's the group People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals. This video appears to show racehorses being over-medicated and lame horses being forced to run. The man implicated is a hugely successful North American trainer who has a horse in the race on Saturday. Tell us what you make of these charges.
I don't think that the charges will overshadow the Kentucky Derby because the charges are a variety. I mean, this sort of charge has been brought before. Of course, horse racing needs reform. Of course, there ought to be some sort of uniform regulatory body. That
because there is none.
There isn't. It's
unlike
state
in
to
other
state.
Sports.
So trainers have a strange situation. They can use a drug in one state. They move the horse to another state to run on another track. They can't use it anymore. This is a situation that is unfortunately been the way things are in racing for a long time. Yeah, there should be a regulatory body, and it should change, and everybody should have to play by the same rules no matter where they're racing.
Okay. Thank you, Bill Littlefield, host of NPR's Only a Game, which airs Saturdays at 7 a.m. and again at 7 p.m. He joins us most Wednesdays right here on Radio Boston. Bill, thank you.
Thank you.
And Bill, wait, before we go, I just have to say, because Anthony's not here, we actually got through an entire segment with you without talking about the you-know-who's down at Fenway.
Oh, well, you know, it's April 30th now. Pretty soon it'll be time to panic and talk about them.
We'll make it up to you next week when he comes back.